Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Rock That Relationship. We are back in our series all about getting unstuck. And today we are back with one of our favorite guests, Cassie Parks, who came to us many seasons ago to talk about manifesting and law of attraction. And we'll make sure to link that episode in the show notes for this one. But Cassie, we're so excited to have you on. Tell us what's been going on since we've last talked to you.
Oh, first, thanks for having me back. I'm so excited to get on with you ladies today. Just talk relationship and stuff. So many amazing things. You know, as a manifesting coach, one of the things I had to learn was like to sort of, as you grow and you keep manifesting, like let things be. And so there was kind of a shift a couple years ago. It's probably more than a couple years ago now in my business a couple years ago. And I was like, do I like really go out and start marketing, or am I going to leave some space for something else to come? And I was like, leave the space. So I still have clients. I still coach them. Yeah. I work on them, but really I left some space, and I got this incredible opportunity to invest in a company that I believe in. And then I've taken on a role there as chief strategy officer to help them grow, which was something I always wanted, was like, where can I put my energy and my knowledge and grow like a startup company? Mm. And so that's what I get to do now. And in addition to living with my amazing partner and enjoying our pool, it's almost the summer and our son. Yeah.
Your awesome. Son, like sun as in child or sun and the sun in the sky?
Sun as in child.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, he came with my partner, so that's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
That's yeah.
Awesome. That's yeah. So cool. Where are you? What is your business or your industry that you're a chief strategy officer?
It is a company called Be Connected, where we provide business tools for online entrepreneurs like us. So virtual conferencing, calendar system, a CRM, and a Groups Plus, which is a place where you can have your community and deliver your courses and grow your business all in one spot. And all of that technology is integrated.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. That is super cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It was everything I wish that, like, I was like, this is what I wanted. Yeah, everything I wish I had it. Had 15 years ago when I started my business.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Like that we create what we need. Like I needed, after a horrible breakup, I needed a book to tell me that I wasn't going to be alone and that this was all like sucky and here's some things you can do. And I needed it to be for women who are in relationships with women. And I couldn't find anything that it would really fit. And so I just wrote it. So like what you're doing, you're like, I needed this, so I created this.
Yes.
I love that.
I love that too. Remind me the title of your book, because need to hand it out.
I finally got the title and the cover just the other day. It's called The Soulmate Strategy, My Imperfect Plan to Conquer Heartbreak and Find True Love. It'll be out February 10th, 2026 through She Writes Press. Super excited, but it's kind of similar idea, right? You kind of create the space and you say, here's what I need, so I'm not going to wait for someone else to make it. I'm going to make it myself.
Yes. And I will say, our amazing CEO, I'm going to give her credit. She had that vision, but I stepped in and could see it and was like, oh, yeah, and we're such on the same page. So sometimes we create through other people, too. I don't want to leave her out of this equation because she did see the vision. But we always have conversations. She goes, you get everything I made. You know, there'll be little details, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the strategy behind this. She goes, exactly. I put strategy into all pieces of the tools, which is really fun.
And isn't that nice to be somewhere where like you not only get it, you guys are on the same page and it's something that you actually love doing. So you're like excited about it.
Perfect. So, awesome. Well, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about, you know, manifesting and what manifesting actually is. I mean, I know we've talked about it a lot on this, this podcast in general, several episodes, and we talked at great length with you about it, but sometimes our listeners are just tuning in for the first time or maybe aren't very experienced in this concept. What exactly is manifesting? Because a lot of people say it's just wishful thinking, right? It's like if I say I want $10,000, it's going to just show up in my mailbox today, but that's not really how it works. So What is manifesting and you know, or your perception of it?
Yeah, we kind of did some pre-questions, and when I read that one, I laughed just like I laughed right now, because a lot of people think that. And it's interesting because I was thinking about my clients and myself, and I'm like, well, but you do get to that point. You just don't start at that point. Like, I have a client, this happens for me all the time, and I have a client, this is one of my my favorite stories, because she literally in the morning was like, I want a paddleboard, a stand-up paddleboard. And then in the afternoon, her friend comes over and she's like, hey, I wanted you to go paddleboarding with me, so I bought you this stand-up paddleboard. That's a $200.
Wow.
Like, literally, like, and she's like, this is who I am now. And I'm like, yep.
Wow. Is it manifesting, or is it like knowing the future?
I think it's manifesting. Mm-hmm. I think it's asking. And when you get to that place where your thoughts are so pure, mm-hmm. right, and you're so unattached, it was just like, oh, I want this. Like, there was no like, how do I go get it, or how do I budget? It was just like a decision. Mm-hmm. And that clear energy, you know, puts it out there and it shows up, you know.
Oh, okay, let me run this by you. So this is a work situation. Okay, a couple weeks ago I was in Thailand. I wrote on the weekend a resignation letter for my litigation job. Okay. And so it was very honest. It was like, I am such a good person. I just go and help animals and I'm always so nice. And then I come to work and it's like, I just do everything wrong and everyone's mad at me. And I don't like this and I can't handle it. And at the end of the letter, I was like, you know, I love the firm. I love the mission, but I don't like this role. Right. But I didn't send it in. Okay. I just sat on it. And that was on the weekend. And on Tuesday of that following week, my managing attorney and the firm administrator put a meeting on my calendar. And the first thing she's like, this was going to be a come to Jesus about your cases. But Billy, the owner, said, why don't you just ask her if she even likes litigating? I get the sense she doesn't. And then I said, no, I hate it. I hate everything about it. And from that meeting, I now am staying with the firm and have a totally different role that I will love.
Total manifesting, because you were clear and you were like, this is ending. Like, even if your gut was like, don't send that right now, right? You were like, and the clarity that you found at the end of that letter, like, you know what? I do love it here. I just don't like this part, but I'm done with that, right? And it was all about being done completely, because when we're, and it's part of being honest. I think truth comes a lot. We have to be truthful when manifesting, and that's really what gets in the way a lot of the times. And when we're truthful and we're like, this is where I'm at, again, it's clear energy, like, and this is what I want. Everything can align with that, right? But, and I remember that, you know, in my relationship, a little sticky at the beginning. I was meant to look up when I was on here, because I'm not even sure we were together the last time I was on here, but, you know, it was a little sticky. And so I went to a coach and she goes, you got to own it. She goes, doesn't matter. I don't know where the chips are going to fall. But like, you have to own what you want, or, which is a great, like, obviously, like, this is what I do, you know, but it was like, oh, duh, that makes sense. Right. But sometimes when you hear it from someone else, she goes, you have to own what you want so that even the paths can start being created. Like, doesn't mean you get it, but you have to own it, or everything else is in limbo, you know, and just make a very clear statement. Like, yes, this is the person I want to be with. I want to, you know, create this relationship. I want to do that. And it did. It made it, you know, parted the waters in a lot of ways. There were still other things that had to be cleared up, figured out, all of that. But yeah, I could definitely see how if I didn't own it and I just sort of stood in this place, which sometimes we think, and she pointed out, she's also a manifesting coach, was, you know, she's like, you're wanting to be like this higher person and this trusting and this, all this stuff. And she's like, but you still got to own what you want. Right. Like that's, and I have that conversation with my clients a lot. You know, they'll come and they're like, I know, I just need to trust that this. And I'm like, no, no. Like, let's talk about what, let's get, make sure we're clear on what we want. Right.
Okay. So now let me run by this relationship scenario. So a couple months ago, sorry, the last time I was with someone was August. It's now May. Okay. So happily, I was so happily single. I went to Thailand several times. I was living life large, right? Happy, happy, happy. Different people came into my life, both strangely through Facebook, one through just regular Facebook and one through Facebook dating. I wasn't even like, the thought of dating wasn't even in my mind. I was just happy, happy, happy being in my life. And through both of those situations, I started thinking about dating again. I dated the one person for like 12 days and dating, you know, getting to know her, tons of like FaceTiming, super intimate, the kindest, nicest, sweetest person until suddenly she wasn't. And so then I think like, what the heck happened? Like, I'm a good person. I'm doing all the right things. And then I'm still getting kicked in the teeth. And it's like, I manifested some of these things of like love and connection, and I had them, and then suddenly it went bad.
Yeah. So from a coach's perspective, I would look at that totally different. I mean, maybe like, did you end it? What did you do when all of a sudden she wasn't this kind of
nice?
Oh,
she ended. The only time she wasn't nice was when she ended it. She was super loving and sweet literally 6 hours before, and then suddenly kicked me to the curb. I did go to a psychic. Psychic said it was a third party interference, but like, I want that. I loved what we were having, and then suddenly it was ripped away from me. And I'm like, but I'm manifesting, but I'm manifesting left and right all these other great things, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's all part of the experience. And I always say, like, relationships are a little bit different because they don't just involve one person. Mm-hmm. There's a timing. There's timing for other people. There's other things. And so it's a great reminder, like, okay, I get what I want. And to just, when we really, what I have found, and I found this, you know, Jenny was on the podcast a while ago, it's like when we really got to that place, we weren't attached to the relationship that we were creating, right? Even though I just said, like, I knew what I wanted, like, I could simultaneously own what I wanted, but be very okay in every present moment when sometimes it looked like it was going to work out and sometimes it looked like it was going to work out. And when we can get to that space in ourselves of that detached of the outcome and just be in the complete present, that's when we create that. And so I can see that you're on that journey, right? Because it's like, well, what did I do wrong? What if you didn't do anything wrong? What if you attracted this amazing experience and instead of putting it in the win-loss column, you put it in the experience column? Like, I got to have some of what I wanted, which is amazing. Like, I tell my clients all the time, that experience can't be taken from you, right? So we always want to like look at the whole, like, but it ended like this. But if we take the experiences we got to have, the depth, like, was it, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how deep would you say it was?
10. And 10, right? 10, and so beautiful and so loving and so kind. And then suddenly whatever happened that I don't even know what happened. So I do look back and say, okay, that's what I want. I want that loving person, but who can actually continue in a relationship and not, you know, run off or whatever it was that happened.
Yeah. And after you, I would say, you know, we talked a little pre, after you go through the anger phase and then the grieing phase, like, make sure you give the anger phase enough time too.
I did. Corey didn't like it when I shouted F not B on a hill the other day. I expressed my anger, but yes, I'm through the grieving. I'm like 90% done with the grieving. And, you know, but it's like, you know, I really, that was what I was wanting. And like, I was so close, you know. It's like heartbreaking, right?
Oh, it totally is. And it's just knowing that's what I'm going for. So anything less than that is not going to cut it, right? Mm-hmm. And anything less than that in a way that is working out and that person is ready for that, right? Mm-hmm. But our experiences can't be taken away from us, and we always can act as if in manifesting. But once we've had that experience, it becomes even stronger. And sometimes I think that's why we create situations like that. Oh, like, I remember what that's like, or I have never actually felt that 10 before, and now I know. And so that's part of our beingness that can attract even more.
Oh, I like that advice, right? Like, the idea that you had a taste of what it is that you want, that just clarifies that you are sure that you want that and keep putting it out there. And then you may want to add one line to your manifest that says, and she doesn't dump me. But
well, and the other one, the person before that was, I manifested all of these things about that person. Okay. Vegan, Jewish, New Yorker, lesbian, blah, blah, blah. And then I forgot to say who actually wants to date me. Right. So, but, I mean, she did it. Apparently she did at first, but in the interim, and I didn't move fast enough, and she ended up with somebody else. But, and that's, it's interesting because I've used those experiences where then I'm like putting it out there to someone, right? And then for that person, it's like, oh my God, you're too fast. And it's like for the other person, you're too slow. And I guess it's just like Goldilocks. At some point, when you're putting out what you truly want, which is, you know, I want a loving, long-term, like, relationship where you actually understand each other. And I guess I'll put it out here, like, want to be together. The two of us want to be together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I think it's really hard. And we're talking about being unstuck, but it's sad, right? Like, and I don't look at, like, people are, I've already talking to other people and some friends are like, oh, you're moving so fast, but I'm already in that space. I'm ready to date. Like, I am now in that space. So I'm not going to let those people who show up who aren't quite ready, but yet they show up in your life anyway, because they're trolling for attention or whatever they're looking for. I just have to say that was a bump. They're not going to derail me and they're not going to let me move away from what it is that I truly want, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's something you said that made me think of this. You know what? Some advice that my friend told me is like, she's a relationship coach. You can't, with the right person, you can't do it wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So there is no move too fast. There is no this, mm-hmm. right? The right person, you can't move too fast. In the wrong person, you can't do it right. Like, we always mm-hmm. want to look back and go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have been that. But you can't, if they're not right, they weren't going to be right, right? And mm-hmm. so we can't have done it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were always going to be wrong in the end. You know, something was always going to be wrong.
Yeah, I think that's what's interesting, because from the beginning in this situation, there were things that I noticed that then made me, oh, gosh, I have to be careful because of her past experiences. And then I'm like, oh, be careful. And then always on edge, right? But yet having this super loving experience. So I guess also, right, like, I don't want to be on edge. I want to just be able to be myself and that be enough for someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And which is a great gift to get to pay attention to, right? Like, if I feel like this probably isn't it. And mm-hmm. so it might warrant a conversation. And again, just sometimes conversation is just a conversation. There doesn't have to be an outcome. It's like, hey, I feel like this, because maybe the other person is like, oh, that you don't need that. Or maybe they're like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I totally feel like that. And you're like, yeah, I should leave.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and I think of this too, like the concept of, it's not quite exactly the same, but it kind of reminds me of like a bridge manifestation, right? Like Tracy got part of what she wanted to help her with some clarity, maybe to say, okay, I have the capacity to feel this way. I'm ready to feel this way. I'm open to feeling this way. And some of the other technical things didn't necessarily happen. I mean, I only hear people talk about bridge manifestation. Honestly, the ever example is someone getting, not getting their dream house, but getting a pretty good house. So this is really kind of a leap to apply it to this. But the idea of like sort of getting, like, she manifested in one of these feelings, but it wasn't with this person, but maybe the next time or two times away or three times away, it'll be with the right person.
Mm-hmm. I think it is a bridge. And I do actually, I like to look at it that way. I mean, you know, now 4 days out, I do think it is. I think, you know, I have a higher standard for the softness of someone's lips and face based on their skincare routine. But like now I'm like, oh, great. How am I going to find somebody with that kind of lips and face?
That's a very interesting vetting process. Do I have to vet them by feeling their face?
Well, like, I mean, I know what to look for, but I'm telling you, the kissing was 10 out of 10 too. So I hope she's listening and she can go away with that knowledge. But like, it is I think we can look at relationship as a bridge. And I think the thing is, like, it's hard. And this is where people get stuck when something doesn't work out. It's like, oh, that was supposed to be, I was supposed to end up with that person. And Corey and I have talked about this a bunch. In order for relationship, and maybe this applies to jobs too, but you have to be vulnerable. You have to be authentic. You have to put energy in. And that is a risk. And it seems in this society, maybe in this world, less and less people are willing to risk that. I don't know. Maybe it's just society is shifting so much. But when you meet someone, you have to put something in, or you're not going to get something out. And sometimes you put a lot in, and then they're not there. They're not ready, or it's very painful. And I'm trying to take that pain and say, okay, I honor that pain, and now I'm moving on to somebody who can. I will find somebody who's ready.
Absolutely.
You know. And who has great lips and skin.
Oh my God, soft skin.
It's a new thing in my list. I didn't
on your
know
list.
Lips could be that soft. I had no idea.
As you know, my primary, I'm sure you talked about this before, but like manifesting method is scripting. And so I'm like, oh, that is perfect for a script, right? Like I felt her face. I touched, that's such good information for a scripting coach and scripting if you're using scripting as a technique.
There you go, Tracy. That's going to be one of your criteria. You're
just I'm more conscientious and about mine, too.
Just touch her. We're all going to be touching her face. Cassie, I do want to ask you something, kind of shifting gears just a little bit, because I was listening to one of your episodes on the Manifest It Now podcast, and this was so interesting. I'd never heard anybody talk about this, and I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about how we don't tend to sometimes manifest what we want. Like we tend to manifest what we are, you said, being, what we tolerate, mm-hmm. and what we choose. And I think that that's so interesting. Can you share with us what you mean by those things and maybe how that might relate to being stuck or getting unstuck?
Absolutely. So let's start with being, right? We manifest who we're being. So it's not what we want. Everybody has this list of what they want, what they're doing. I'll apply this to relationships. This is one of the best, I think, examples. It's like some people put on their list, I want somebody who's spontaneous, and yet they'll never be spontaneous. Like they won't do anything. Mm-hmm. They won't go anywhere. They won't, or they'll, I want somebody who's independent, and yet they won't go have dinner by themselves. They won't go to the movies. Like they won't, right? And so when we're being, we're going to manifest what we're being, not necessarily what we want, right? And so if we're being positive, if we're doing things in the world, we're going to attract that beingness, not necessarily what we put on a list, right? And then there's what we tolerate, which is so important in relationships, right? And tolerate, I think sometimes people think means I have to feel like stand up for myself and say I'm not going to tolerate this and I'm not going to do this. And sometimes that's maybe you need to do that once. But tolerate means like, am I willing to stand in a room with someone who makes me feel less than? Right? Do I make an excuse for someone like that? And then we're attracting that because we're tolerating it. We're keeping ourselves in that energy. So anytime we're tolerating something, right? From ourselves, especially from ourselves, right? Are we tolerating, like, oh, I want somebody who treats me so kind and amazing and who spoils me, and yet we refuse to ever spoil ourselves or talk, you know, we're always talking down to ourselves, right? If we tolerate that from ourselves, we are going to manifest that because that's the energy we're in. The want is like a starting place. The want of what we want in manifesting is really like the starting point. The beingness, what we tolerate, and then what we choose is even more. And this for me is the perfect example of this choice. You know, I never once, and maybe I had, I never like said, I want to manifest a house with a pool, right? And yet every place I chose to live, I would normally choose to live in a condo. Like I always chose a pool. Like I always chose a view with the pool. I always chose so that I could have that experience of the pool, right? Mm-hmm. And now I have a house with a pool. Like that's not, did I ever write it down? Was it ever this house with the pool on a vision board? Probably I can't go find that on a vision board. Because the house was never the thing. I was a condo girl. I left my house, but I kept making the choice to have access to the pool. I kept making a choice to rent an Airbnb where I could pretend like I had a private pool or just have my own pool, right? And so those choices led to me having this beautiful, amazing pool in my backyard that is all mine because I chose it. And that is – the choice is almost more important than the want, right? Because we can want forever, but if we never give – if we just have a want list and we never give ourselves that stuff – we often don't get it if we don't choose it for us, right? It's like, oh, I want to be able to have a massage every week. And yet we don't choose that when it comes to, we have $100 extra, right? Mm-hmm. So it's those choices, and that can definitely lead to us feeling stuck, right? Because we have this list of, I want, but we're not creating it. Mm-hmm. And likely because we're not being the person who has it, we're tolerating the things that are not to that high standard of that list, and we're not choosing what we want, which makes us feel stuck because there is no energy moving towards what we want. There's no, because we start it with manifesting, right? It starts with the want, but like we're really in control of what we create and what we get. And we have to put that energy in, like we talked about earlier. We have to put the energy into the beingness, into choosing not to tolerate, into the choices that we make of what we give ourselves.
I want to come back to myself as always. The last four people, and this is what Corey literally yelled at me this morning, was I keep choosing. Okay. I want one thing, but I continue to choose the people who from almost day one tell me they're going to run, tell me they're damaged, tell me they haven't done the work. None of them, not one of them has done the work. And I continue to choose those people for, I'm not sure what reason, the hotness, the, like, you know, the sweetness or whatever. I see it. I've seen it in all of them, the last four people since I got divorced. Like, they're all very short lived and they have all kicked, like, hurt me so badly because I really cared about them. But what I'm choosing is to, I'm choosing to ignore the red flags that are being shown to me from day one. And
you're making excuses for them.
Yes.
And you're tolerating it because you're saying it's okay. And your answer to me was, you know, that these people have had a lot of things happen in their lives and you have too, and you feel compassion and you want to give them a chance because you would want someone else to give you a chance. But in the end, what did I tell you? Like, no.
I get hurt.
Stop with your wounded deer thing. It's the wounded deer thing. She stops and she's like, oh, poor little deer. And, you know, I'm sorry, but in some ways, you know, I'll help the deer, but I'm not going to become intimately connected to the well-being of this deer because it's painful. And so.
Well, and connect my well-being to that deer that I invested. I really fall for these people. And then it's like their deepest desire is to just fucking kick my teeth in. Sorry, I swore, but like. That's how I feel like with the last four, where it's like, whoa, I thought we had something really beautiful. And for whatever reason, that was just gross to them. And then they, you know, all four of them had the very similar patterns. And so we actually identify that. So Corey's making me go through the list of, you know, what were the things that were similar?
Just serious this morning. Just this morning.
Serious mother wounds on all of them, serious trauma, non-processed trauma. And so I say, yeah, this is what I want, but I am continuing. So when you said that, like I'm continuing to choose not what I want, either what's familiar or there's a reason though. And so I'm trying then to see that. But this last one was 2 weeks. Fortunately, she did me a favor and dumped me first. But like, yes, I saw the red flags from day one. And
you tolerated them, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
How many times did she try to kick me to the curb, Corey, before? Two or three times. Very mini, like, I feel like I'm going to run.
I was like, then let her run.
It was day one.
She's like, I can't let her run. I can't. She's going to stay for me this time. I'm different.
Uh-huh.
I didn't chase, but she stayed and I stayed and I shouldn't. So now, next time I see those flags, I have to say, if I choose this, right, I'm not choosing what I want. I'm choosing something familiar and I've got to let go of that. I need to move forward or I never will. I'll just keep getting hurt.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you said an interesting thing. It feels like it's their deepest desire to like run and hurt me, like probably not to hurt you. And it's not a desire. It's an instinct, right? Mm-hmm. If someone hasn't healed their trauma and they haven't done that, they have zero capacity to accept the love and the evolvedness and the, you know, what you want to give. And so the truth is their deepest desire, and desire is not the right word, but their deepest instinct is to get the heck out of there because it's not safe. Like love does not feel safe to someone who hasn't processed their trauma and who has never had safe love and hasn't opened up to that space before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, then I think about it the other way around too. When we talk about, you know, your being, there's like, I have an example for the being and it's a kind of a positive example. It was last springtime sometime. I said, I'm really frustrated with the kinds of people that are in my social circle. Not all of them. I have a lot of great friends. And if they're listening, it's not you. but the idea was that I was like, I really want to be like positive. I want a high vibe. I want to connect and with people that like are in this elevated, like energetic scale. And so I, all of a sudden it was like some friends just started kind of falling off. And I was starting to enter, like pull myself up in that being, and I started attracting that energy. And for the past few months, I mean, in particular, Tracy, it's like everywhere I go, I'm attracting this kind of energy. It's
fire vibe, yeah.
It's ridiculous the amount of people that are just circling in. And part of it is maybe my mindset, right? I'm seeing the good in people. So therefore, I kind of elevate them in my mind. But I truly think
you're not. These aren't like fakers.
I mean,
these are true. This is like really happening.
Amazing people.
It.
We went hiking yesterday and met this amazing woman. We were going on this trail. We've talked about it before. We were going on this trail and this woman just could not, the hill, and she could not get to the top. And she was just like, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. So I stopped and said, I will go with you. You are going to get to the top if you want to get to the top. And so this other woman also started walking with us. And then Tracy was there too. And we all made it to the top. And the woman was very appreciative. But the other lady who went with us was just super high vibe. And it was like all of a sudden it was just like whatever that moment was that we had just attracted that energy. And we ended up being friends on Facebook and connecting.
Number one, she needed our help because she's going through a terrible divorce and I'm a divorce attorney. And number two, everything that we said to her, she was so high vibe and supportive of our projects and excited. Like we've said things to other people and like, oh, who cares? We're not interested. But she was like, oh my God, you guys have a podcast. This is awesome. Let me get on there. And I mean, and she is going through some hard, hard stuff. And she still, I'm like, you are awesome. You're just awesome. Like,
yeah.
It was an awesome person. Like,
and that just has happened to me over and over and over these last few months. And it's been so incredibly cool because the more I'm interacting with these high vibe people, the more high vibe I'm getting. And I'm like, I mean, I went to Reiki and the lady was like,
I don't know that you can get more high vibe.
I'm not sure. I went to Reiki and my Reiki healer who has worked with me for years was like, I don't even know that I need to work on you today, really.
Yeah. Cause you're like,
I've never seen you like
here.
This. And I'm not faking it, but it's like, I'm being that. And all of a sudden everything is coming in and there's no outcome. I don't have an outcome. It's just the energy itself, I guess, is the outcome. It's not like I'm going to meet a person to be with or meet friends or get a job. It's just like,
but you're
this
just
is what
happy.
I'm
and
just
before exuding. My little blip, we both were at the super happy level. And we're like, God, we're both single. We're so happy. We're going to do these projects. I had a tiny little blip that I'm almost over. And then we're like, I mean, I like drive down the road and I'm like, it's like, I can feel my mind expanding. This happened to me 2 years ago before all that other drama. And I think, when you get to that point, like you have to, it doesn't have to have an end purpose. It's just here we are on this earth, right? Expanding and being. Like, what's
our purpose
here? And
attracting that right back, attracting it back. And
right.
The people that aren't fitting into that are not circling around with their wagons with us, which is.
Well, Cassie, answer this for me if you can. What are we here for on this earth?
I think that's each person's personal, right? And I think that drives that, right? And so when you get to that place where you're like, I'm here to be happier, I'm here to feel good, doesn't mean that's when you find that like, oh yeah, I'm just being happy. I'm having this high vibe energy. I'm having this because I want that and I can create, can have that, right? I'm worth having that. I'm worth giving that to myself is being in that space. And so I think it's a very personal question for people to ask. And cause I think there's different reasons. I do think sometimes, but I think that's the kind of that place that everybody then gets to, right? I think along the way it's different. And that answer is an important question for people to ask. So listeners, like, ask yourself that because that drives a lot of other things. It gives you insight and it makes it, if you believe we're here for a certain purpose or whatever that is, if then align to that, right? It's a real clear sign. If you believe we're here for one reason, but you're not going for that reason, life is going to be bumpy, you know? And sometimes that's just the easiest place to start. It's like, what do you believe you're here for? Right. And that's a great place to just get back, not get back on track, but get in alignment with who you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I feel like my whole life, I know that relationships are what I need to work on and be in. So I feel like I came to this lifetime to really work on relationships. And now I feel like my whole purpose for being here is to help and heal other people, even in the way that I do get with people and I tell them stuff, which is these last four, I say things that then make them look at their life and they get upset and cry. And then they say, I can't go to therapy. I'll be this, but it unlocks. Like I'm a catalyst for certain people. Universe, I want to stop being a catalyst in my love life. I want to be with somebody who's actually processed, but like that my purpose here is to heal and connect. And so, like, for me, the only reason to be on this earth, like, given all this craziness that happens around us, is to connect one-on-one with as many people as I can and, like, have that depth, you know?
Absolutely. And I think, Tracy, when you – that's, like, the lesson, right? It's like, if I'm here for this purpose of helping others unlock – but that doesn't mean they have to be for me. Like mm-hmm. finding that place, which is probably where you're going to be, you know, in a day from now when all this is by, is like, oh, I can look at that. I can unlock that and I can take that as my purpose, but that does not have to be what I get in the middle of, right? I can mm-hmm. just have that one unlocking mm-hmm. and move on and be like, mm-hmm. you're not for me. And if you mm-hmm. go do the work, maybe you come back around and maybe you are for me, but, you know, not even having to think about that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Well, like thanks. I just figured yeah. that out. Yeah.
Unlocking other people, you know,
well, it doesn't have to be, right?
Yeah, you don't mm-hmm. have to be that for the person who you're in a personal relationship with either.
Well, I don't want to anymore. I'm verbalizing that to the universe. I don't want to, I want to be a catalyst for people in other ways that aren't, but I don't want to be the catalyst in a relationship anymore. I want that person who's processed to come to me. My psychic said it will happen by October, November of this year.
Awesome.
Oh my goodness. See, but I think that that's an interesting question. Like, why are you here? You know, when you, Tracy, you talk about this idea of like making connections and helping other people like heal themselves, but not in your personal relationships. But, you know, I think about my calling is really to help people leverage their own potential. And that's why I'm a teacher or a professor, you know, and I like people to be able to learn new things. And sometimes it isn't just about themselves. It's about the world around them, right? Like unlocking their potential to be whatever they want to be. And so that's why I have to be careful, because in relationships, I've tended to slip into teacher student. Mm-hmm. And that's a big, so like getting our calling for mm-hmm. our kind of like our career calling kind of, you know, conflated with our personal
mm-hmm. relationship. But that's a very good point, Corey, yeah. because I've actually said that to you, that you've had that dynamic before.
I know.
And mm-hmm. it's true. Like, how do we keep that, the dynamic that we're, what we're here for, to heal, to teach, how do we keep that out of a personal, how do we like, we just keep manifesting, finding somebody who's at our level? I mean, I don't mean that in a snotty yeah. way at
because,
our level, but
you're right,
as the understandings that we have. You're right. We're both doing the exact same thing. We are ending up with people that we want to help, and it's hurting us because we're not, I want to be with that person. We want to both be with somebody who can uplift us versus we're having to teach them something. And then they resent us. You know, there's a lot of resentment there. And I was just told by another ex the other day, like, you think you know everything, you think. And I said, no, I just have a different language. I've done so much work on attachment. I have understandings. I'm not trying to be snotty. You have an attachment issue. And if mm-hmm. you would look at it and address it, I swear to God, your life would be richer, but it's too painful for them to address those attachment.
But it's not your, you know? It's not really your job either. But the thing I'm thinking about, and like maybe Cassie, this is where you can help us, is it almost feels like we both have two active manifests, right? We have these callings, like these career callings that we feel so passionate about, but some of the things that we like to do when we feel fulfillment in those callings, like the teacher, student, or the healer, we don't want those in the manifests for our romantic relationships or even our friendships, really, because those create mm-hmm. some weird power dynamics mm-hmm. and some angst for us. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you have like these two kind of almost competing or incompatible in some ways manifests?
You get clear about what you want, right? Which is, this is the first step. It's like this realization that you both are kind of having right now, like, oh, I do this, right? And so then, and you can, I mean, there's a couple different ways to go around it. You can put your own like boundaries, rules for yourself, right? Oh, I don't do that in relationships, right? That's not my place. I don't do, like, I just don't. And realize when you're doing it. And then ask like why, because what we're ultimately doing then, if we're clear about what we want in a relationship, is what's probably keeping us from that deeper place in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. And so really becoming aware, like, yeah, I want to be present and in enjoying life with friends versus teaching them, same mm-hmm. as in a relationship, and creating that awareness. And I think you can absolutely manifest both at once. It just becomes, who am I being? Right? Can I step out of that, that teacher role or that fixer, that helper role, right? Can I step out of that and still be fulfilled in other places? And that's a mm-hmm. great place to look. Like, how else do I get fulfilled? And allowing the relationship, the interaction, the experience to fulfill us is how we get that. And being aware, like, oh, okay. Which is you know, similar work to somebody who couldn't, you know, people who can't like relax, and then learning how to like get filled up, you know, instead of getting filled up from the adrenaline and like doing all the things, getting filled from being relaxed, right? It's just a practice.
I think we need to go to those, like, we haven't done any of this. Corey and I are just going to start doing these pride things. But I think what we need to do, I need to do, is switch to those spiritual conferences where there are the people, like, I need to get more into that. My psychic said I'm almost at that point also. Like, now I need to put myself around those people, not people who are just beginning therapy, but the people who have already done. I've done how many years of therapy now? It's 6, 10 years of therapy. Like, I want to now be around the people who are understanding this and putting it into practice and really living it, you know? And so I think the only way we're going to find those people is start to put ourselves in those spaces where those people hang out. And like, I was married to a clinical psychologist for 8 years, and I noticed it was very hard for her to be around other people who weren't processed. You know, she said I used to vomit my trauma all over her, right? And I only understand that now. I did not understand it when we were married. And now it's been other people's trauma has been vomited all over me. And I get what she was saying. And so like, it's hard for her to be in the world, right? Where every time you meet people and they don't have this understanding. And now I feel like I'm at that level in a psychological and spiritual way. And so I've got to put myself in places where those people are.
Yes. And you can also just attract them. Right. It's because it's a choice on our part. It's not going out. Like, that's really what I would say. Manifesting is like going into action. Oh, I got to go to the spiritual conference, because I could tell you can find many unprocessed people at spiritual conferences and things like that who can speak this amazing language, but haven't processed anything. Right. Who could tell you in detail every single manifesting technique that's already come out, or how to heal your own stuff, but haven't done their own work. Because it really is, it's us, right? It's when we are it, we will attract someone. And I would even say, you know, about your ex, I would let yourself off the hook a little bit. I don't think that vomiting trauma is always on, like, I don't think it was you and your ex. I think that is also probably something that, I don't want to speak for someone else, but what I have learned is that I had that, but when I put that boundary, like, I don't do that anymore, right? Like, I only coach when I coach, and I can hold amazing space for people to process whatever they need to process, but I don't do that in the general world. And that was an internal action that stopped that, right? It was almost like, oh yeah, this doesn't happen anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. And it stopped. And it, so it's not necessarily, where do we go find these people, or do I hang out with these people, or do I have a check mark? Like, have you gone to therapy?
Right.
It's really who we decide we're going to tolerate. And when we even just put that invisible garage door down, like, oh, yep, nobody throws up their trauma on me anymore. It doesn't happen.
That's fair.
And when it does, being willing to say, like you know, just like, oh, like, maybe you want to go process that, like, somewhere else. But it's, you know, not something I want to discuss, right?
Oh, when you say that, I know Corey has actually said that to me before, but then my immediate knee-jerk reaction is to resist, because I'm like, oh, but I still, like, I still feel that need to have, I guess, those people in my life. So it's interesting you just said that. When you, it's funny, in law school, I would say that about professors. Like, you know, they'd be so engaging during class, and then it's like literally a garage door would go down behind their eyes because they didn't want to talk to students after class. And law students can be so, like, they could keep you for an hour, right? And so you saw, like, it was like a shield went down, right? Leave me alone, I'm done with class, I'm moving on, right? And so I don't have that ability, or maybe I don't want to have it. I don't, based on what you just said, I don't want to have it. I'm going to talk to my therapist about that. Do I want to create that? I mean, one of my boundaries that I didn't have before is I will not chase anyone. I will tell them how I feel. I will be super vulnerable, but I'm done chasing. But I'm still accepting. Corey does not. Corey's like, God, people tell you so much stuff they don't tell her, because I'm like, give it to me, give it to me. I'll like take it in, right? Because I still like it. I mean, I was a cop. I worked at a domestic violence shelter as a public defender, and now I do family law. So clearly, if there's something that I like to, I want to know. It's part psychological of what's going on in the world, but I guess just on a romantic level, I can't ever let it in again because it hurts me. It ends up hurting me too much. So everyone's got their, Corey doesn't want to hear it on a daily basis. I still want all that, but I just don't want it in my romantic world. I've got to be better. I have to have better boundaries for my dating.
Well, and even some friendships. You've had some friends that have sucked you dry.
Oh, yeah, and them being mean to me.
I mean, just, the wounded they do vomit their trauma on you.
And they do, and then they're mad at me. And I'm like, what? I just try to help you.
I know, but
it's interesting. When you try to help people who aren't processed, they get mad at you.
Well, they're the same people we hang out with. And I'm like, I've never had that experience with them.
Right? Yeah.
I've never had that.
Well, why? Would explain what you two just, what just happened there.
So, of course, saying she's had these same friends and never had that experience, right? Some of the experiences that you have. And it's because you're open to it. Like you want, I would say there's some part of you that it feels good, even though it doesn't feel good in the end, right? It's like, oh, like, yeah, tell me, or I hear this. It's feeding something inside, right? That the piece of it is not more valuable than that something it's currently feeding, right?
Well, I just think I have a higher tolerance, but maybe there is something that
You're inviting.
Well, something because I want to help these people. I am a healer. She's a teacher. I mean, we do have a different role. I just won't take it I will not let them in. I have done a better job, Corey, you have to admit, about keeping some of them out. Not the hot ones. It's true. I mean, I'm terrible. No,
but
I'm
even
very
friends.
Shallow.
But even friends. And I, you know, and it's the boundaries, right? Like that's you.
Well,
like
they,
it.
You're not approachable in that way, but I am.
Well, I don't know that I'm not approachable. It's just that
in that way.
No, there are some people that tell me lots of very vulnerable things, but it's by my consent, right? It's not by their need to dump it on me and me just take it. But you somehow are, and I've said this to you over and over, you benefit from the wounded deer syndrome. You benefit from it. It is, like Cassie said, it is feeding something inside of you that is your propensity to want to be a healer, but you're also getting something out of it. So
I'm a very wounded internal person. I was very abused. You know, I've suffered some very terrible things. And so for me, I feel like, yeah, I have that crazy dog Max too, that like a lot of people didn't like. And I'm like, but that was me. I was, what happened to me growing up formed me as a person. And I don't want people judging me for that. It wasn't my fault what happened to me. So yeah, I don't want to ever judge somebody.
Yeah. And I think it's a great, like you said it before, I think it's a great thing to take to your therapist because you know where it came from, right? It's this thing that's like, I don't want to leave anyone else out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a flip side about like, I've gotten to be this happy and in working through whatever it is, like I get to be completely happy without being vomited and then stepped on. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I don't owe the world because I did my work. I don't owe all of these wounded deers, like the right to throw up on me and then step on me. Right. Without even washing me off first. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. True. It's true. I had to talk to my therapist about that because I'll just reveal this. She did say we still have some inner trauma child work to do. I'm like, what? I'm over it. I'm
right?
done with
I've
that.
Already done it. I know. Right?
I'm ready to. I'm going to move on because I say.
But
I'm
I'll
going
tell
to
you something. Right? Years ago, my therapist was like 2 years ago. My therapist said we have to do inner child work, and I said that is gross, and please don't ever say that term to me again. I don't like it. You're giving me the creeps, and I don't appreciate it. And I was like rejecting her in that way. I'm like, I'm not doing that, right? So then, three children were abused right in front of my face. I mean, even after I finished in the Grand Canyon, I was so sick because I need to get some sugar in me. And a man grabbed his kid who just had some ice cream and was joyful about the ice cream. And he did exactly what was done to me when I was younger and jerked that kid, grabbed her hair, pulled her, yelled at her. And I actually intervened. I was armed at the time. And I told that mother exactly what that father had done. And I said that in front of that little girl so that she would know she doesn't need to be treated that way. I mean, I don't know what happened after I left, but I shamed that man, and I did it to two other people. We saw it at the 4th Avenue Fair where I saw a lady actually grab a girl and abuse her right in front of us. I called her out, and then at a hotel. And so I thought, okay, my inner child work is done because the universe presented three very serious child abuse incidents in front of me. I confronted them. One mother, I actually held her while she cried about it, and I thought, I'm healed. But I'm not healed because the last four people I have been with have serious mother wounds and trauma, and I see now what I'm trying to work it out always through other people because I think for me to sit even just with my therapist, like, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do it. I don't want to look at that. It's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Well, done.
Sounds like you're stuck a little bit, Tracy.
I'm stuck.
Right? This is our podcast series about getting unstuck.
Our podcast just helped me because I'm going to go to my therapist and say, okay, I'm ready to do that work. I wasn't ready before. I did get some concrete ways to like look at what had happened to me and help. But yes, it's true. Now you two have just helped me. I didn't want to look at that. I didn't want to deal with it. It's too painful for me to sit by myself or just with the therapist and look inside of myself. And through one of those terrible relationships, my therapist had said, you know, what if teenage Tracy showed up at your house today, what would you say? And I was like, oh my God, everything that I'm saying to this person, I love you. I want you to be here. You're safe here. You know, all these things, right? I'll be here for you. It's shit that I should have been saying to myself. And so little by little, I'm realizing, but yes, I just realized I'm always asking for external ways to heal my wounded self instead of going in there because I don't want to, because it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is a stage most people go through. Like, that's a stage. It's like, you know, they look, you know, like you get really good. It's getting a little too close. Like, you got to go a little deeper. And a lot of people look for that, right? And I mm-hmm. think on the flip side, it's upping our self-worth to be able to, like, okay, I get to have this life that I have healed in order to have. And it's just the next layer that takes us to that. I deal with that with a lot of my clients all the time. It's, you know, it comes up and this exact thing that you're experiencing. So it's completely normal. It's like, I've gotten, you know, if I started down here, I'm here in the middle and I feel like I need to, like, for them, it's usually I need to, like, be worthy enough by helping them, right? Like, there's sometimes a guilt in healing and, you know, moving through that and figuring out, like, I don't owe anyone being miserable anymore. And even if that's helping someone else, like, I don't owe that for my next level of happiness.
Yeah, I get that guilt thing because I feel like, okay, I have done the work and I see the light. I feel happier and I want those people to feel happier too. But they really are not, they just resent me. They end up resenting me.
Because everybody has to want it for themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that, like, if we want to bring this back to being stuck, I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, is they want mm-hmm. something for someone else. There's a lot of ways mm-hmm. we get stuck. And one of the things to look at when we feel stuck, right, is, okay, am I trying to move myself forward? Or am I trying to move someone else forward?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Because,
exactly.
Yeah. If we're trying to get what we want by moving everyone else's pieces around, we're often going to feel stuck because we're not moving ourselves.
Because I think people look at that as being selfish, you know, but it goes back to the whole thing of put your air mask or your, when you're on an airplane, put your, what is the oxygen mask on first. But it does feel selfish, right? It feels like mm-hmm. I've seen the light. I want to show other people, but I guess I can do that in a way that doesn't hurt me. You know, mm-hmm. and that's yeah. the choice that I
that's
have to make.
Because the more wounded you are, the less you can help others too. So, mm-hmm. you know, during these last few days, for instance, you felt very wounded. This could have been a time in which you might have been able to help someone else, but weren't at your capacity either. So if you keep allowing that, it's not going to help you.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Cassie, as we kind of wrap up, because kind of bringing this all back to this idea of manifesting. Mm-hmm. Do you have an example of a time that you felt stuck and maybe you used some manifesting techniques to get yourself unstuck, whether that was like logistically stuck, like in a job or something, or it was like emotionally stuck in something? Have you ever had an experience where that really stands out? I mean, I know you use manifesting all the time because that's just mm-hmm. like who you are, but like something that would really stand out to our listeners.
So the biggest thing manifesting when it comes to being stuck is I'm always like, stop saying it, right? So if I always catch myself, it's like, I feel stuck, I feel this, I catch it, and then I move. Just to remind myself, I am not stuck, right? That's that beingness. I am moving. Because unless you're like literally sunk in mud or you're spinning your tire, like we're not stuck. But we tell our brains that, which which then is what we get back, right? If we keep saying that over and over, and that's the same thing I tell my client, oh, I feel stuck. Great. Let's not say that. And let's focus on what you want. Right. And so sometimes I'll just, even if I feel it, I'll just go for a walk and coach them to do that as well. But okay, if I feel stuck, I stop saying it. And okay. And sometimes then I'll ask, like, am I stuck? Like what you mentioned, like, I don't have a job or I don't have that. Like, am I stuck? Like, am I at that place where like I cannot move? And then normally the answer is no. Like, there's always something, right? There's always a move. You're never really stuck. Like, oh, I could do this. I have this option. I could sell this. I could do that. Whatever it is, right? And then it always comes back to, okay, what do I want? Like, stop saying what you don't want. I feel stuck. What do I want? Oh, I want to move forward. I want a new job. I want more friends. I want, you know, my relationship to improve. I want to communicate what I need, right? And really asking, what do I want? And we forget that. We're like, oh, I think I know what I want. But it's not. If we're telling ourselves we're stuck, we definitely haven't been asking what do we want in a little while, right? And then moving forward from there. And then, you know, taking on that beingness of what we want, choosing what we want, and stopping tolerating anything that isn't in alignment with what we said we wanted. Right? Whatever we want. If I say, you know, I want more money, I want this, then we don't tolerate the things that, you know, don't serve that. We don't stop tolerating the things. We choose the things that are going to be more like that. And we step into that beingness of having it already.
I love that.
Amazing.
I love it.
You two are awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
You are awesome too. We are so lucky to have had you today. Our listeners out there who want to know more about you and some of the things that are on your horizon, like what's going on with you kind of in the future, upcoming future, anything you want to share with our listeners, and how can they, you know, maybe get a hold of you or find some of your resources?
Yeah. So if you go to manifestingmoneyandyourdreamlife.com, you can join our free group. It's on Be Connected, of course. But we put resources there, podcasts. It's a community where you can go hang out. We're there more and more as more people join it. But that's one of the main places that I hang out. And I'm also training she's been my client for over 5 years and really transformed and talk about all the trauma things that we've talked about today, has really moved through a lot of that. And she's training to be a coach like under me. So she's training to do what I do, what I taught her, you know, what coaching she got is training to coach other people. So she's also in there, and we'll be teaching Manifest 10K soon and hosting Future Self workshops. So you can check us out there.
Great. I'm already getting on there.
Awesome. I love this stuff. Okay. So we can find all of this information on your website and get in touch with you. There's ways to connect with you there too.
Yeah. I just use that. The group is really the website now. Like, yeah, you can connect with us. You can post in there if you want to, you know, or you can go to CassieParks.com, which is my profile currently inside Be Connected. Soon it will be outside, so you won't have to have a login. But that's why I use as my website anymore. Yeah.
Excellent.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll post
and of course on Amazon.
On Amazon.
You can find my books on Amazon.
All right. Excellent. We'll make sure to link to those as well. Well, Cassie, it has been a pleasure. I know Tracy's going to need therapy after this session. So that is always
I don't need it, but I am going to get it.
Seek it out.
I mean, I've been in therapy for many years. Seek it out. This is the next step. You people have unlocked some stuff for me to help me not be stuck. And that was the other thing. Like, that was this whole season. We were just going to work on me, and it was going to be my work stuff. My work stuff resolved beautifully. And then, bam, I got a 12-day crash course in getting my teeth kicked in by someone. And now it's led me to this, which will lead me to deeper happiness.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, everything happens for a reason, doesn't it?
If you hadn't had this conversation, if you hadn't had this experience, this 12-day experience, we wouldn't have had this conversation, and then maybe you wouldn't have approached healing your inner child and talking about your wounded deer in ways
that's
that
what
you're
I'm saying.
About to
and
do.
And it's only my metaphorical teeth. My beautiful real teeth are still in my mouth.
Yes. Well, all right. Awesome. Well, thank you all for being here today. It was such a great conversation. And to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.